All right, what we're going to do today, this is going to be a shorter challenge or message, but I think a very important one when you consider all that's going on in our world, especially in America today. And the topic of the message today is very simple. Six reasons why we should love God. Six reasons why we should love God. I want to read to introduce us to this challenge or this study today out of John chapter 3. Very familiar passage, but very exciting passage. I love to read this, and it just excites my heart when I think about Jesus and his love for all of us, and especially when he was here on earth. He was pretty hard on the religious people that were lost, but he also had a very tender and compassionate heart for all the people that he was in contact with when he was here on earth. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master, meaning teacher, of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the first reason to love God is this. God listens. God listens. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I came across some pictures of mom and of dad. And you know, there's when you don't think about this when you're growing up, but you won't always be able to talk to your mom. She won't always be there. Saturday, Mary Ann and I had the opportunity to spend some time with her mother. She had a special meal that she wanted to share with us, a new one she put together, and it was good. And yes, I did eat too much, but that goes with it. But you won't always be able to talk to your mom. Because sometimes she won't be here. You won't always be able to talk to your dad. Same reason, but sometimes dads are busy, and that's something that we all have experienced too. And you won't always be able to talk to your friends, not all the time, because sometimes when you do need a friend, sometimes they're not at home or they're busy. But God is available to each and every one of us 24 hours a day. We can reach him anytime. And he hears our prayers. Morning, noon, and night, the doors to the kingdom are always open. Every time around the year when we spend messages on the crucifixion and the trial of Christ, and I think of when he died on the cross, a very significant event, a very important event happened. Not only for those people to observe and know about that live there and then, but for us also, where the veil in the temple that separated the people from the Holy of Holies, where only the priest could go in for the nation of Israel once a year and ask forgiveness for their sins, it was split from the top to the bottom, really indicating that we now have access ourselves to the Holy of Holies in the heavens, Jesus Christ, as he sits in the right hand of God the Father on high, and also making intercession for us, because he experienced everything that you and I do, but he did it without sin. He understands what we have to go through. If you need someone to talk to when you're feeling lonely, God is there. When you're feeling sad and you need a shoulder to cry on, God is there. If you're happy to be alive and you want the Lord to know how much you love him, God is there for that too. I believe a lot of us don't do enough of that, thanking him and praising him for all that he has done for us. And if you're having a problem and you don't know what to do about it, guess what? God is there. God is there. He wants to hear about what's going on in your life. You say, well, he knows everything. Yeah, but he wants to hear it from you. He wants you to share it with him. You know, there's a lot of things that my earthly father knew what was going on in my life, and I didn't always know how smart he really was. He knew some things that I had done that I thought I fooled him, and he didn't know, but he knew. And sometimes I'd go to him and talk about different things, and he says, yes, son, I noticed that. And he'd go through a sentence or two and explain what he saw and how he could help and what I needed to do to help myself. That was always exciting too, wasn't it? That's one thing I love about God. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The second reason to love God is because God provides. God provides. I could bore you for the next hour telling you about all the wonderful experiences that God has provided things for me throughout my life. Sometimes I would reach a point that I didn't know whether even God was able to do it, but guess what? He is able to provide. In John chapter 6, we read a story about a big crowd that followed Jesus, and he had a lot of crowds that followed him. They followed him into the wilderness to hear him preach, of all places. It wasn't even near a city. It was quite a ways from any place where you could see stores or anything else. And by the end of the day, the people were getting hungry. It's going to be quite a trip to get back to civilization. And the disciples said, Jesus, send the people home so that they can get something to eat. This has been a long day. Fact of the matter is, we're a little hungry too, and we wouldn't mind getting back. Now, I added that part, but I'm sure they were thinking along those lines. But Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Whoa, we give them something to eat? We don't even have anything ourselves to eat. And the disciples said, how are we going to do that? There aren't any places that we can go. They certainly didn't have takeout, if you understand, back then. Or maybe they did, I don't know. But they didn't have any drive-ins, I'm sure. Besides, the only food we have is a little boy's lunch. One basket, two fish and five loaves of barley bread. That's it. But Jesus says, that's good enough. Good enough? I can imagine what was going through, if not all of the disciples' minds, at least some of them, especially Peter. 5,000 people? I mean, maybe they counted it, but maybe that was a good estimate that he made. Thousands of people? And we're going to feed them? But Jesus says that's good enough. And then if you read the story on your own sometime, he said a prayer. And he transformed that little happy meal into food that fed 5,000 people. Now, is this the event? Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at this event, or maybe it was another one, there were 5,000 men plus women and children. That's a lot of people to feed with a happy meal. He provided for every one of those people in the desert. Now, you may not have had that kind of a desert experience, but you might have had your own kind of desert experience. And weren't you amazed and surprised too how God was able to provide for you when you had a need? And one of the things I love about Jesus is that he still provides for his people today. This isn't a question I expect you to answer, but in your mind, I'm sure you will. And I hope we don't have anybody here that doesn't have food in their house. And if you don't, you come talk to me afterward. I'll make sure you do. But really, as we look out over this audience, and I know many of you, how many of you have food at home? We probably could all raise our hands to that. How many of you have clothes in your dresser drawers, in your closets? How many of you have shoes to wear? These things that we take for granted. How many of you have parents and relatives who kind of watch over you? You know why you have these things? You say, well, I went to the store, Walmart or whatever, and I bought them. Yeah, but there is a sense in which all of us have it because God has provided it. God has provided you the strength to go to work. God has provided you with a job that you can earn money to get those things. He provides it. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to give you everything you want. If you ask God for $1 million in cash, you may not get it. I see now they're talking up big about this I don't even know what it's called. Powerball, is it? Or mega something, you know. I passed a billboard on the way up here, and I heard them talking on the news about, boy, oh boy, now if you just go out and spend a couple bucks, you can win $394 million. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, go ahead. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day, and they were talking about other things like the lotto and all that, and how they watch what they spend on that, but they go out and they buy so many every week, and they know that when they don't know what they're going to do with all of that money when they win it, but they're sure they'll come up with some ideas. And somebody had asked me, how many lottery tickets you buy, preacher? I said, well, my goodness, after I'm hearing this conversation today, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you, I've never in my lifetime bought one lottery ticket and never had anybody else buy one lottery ticket. I do believe I'm in a minority. I do believe I'm in a minority. So, and of course, some would say, well, my goodness, don't you understand when you buy that ticket, that also goes to help you old people out. Okay. All right. Right. If you ask God for a 60-inch big screen TV as an early birthday present, you might not get that. The Bible doesn't promise that a believer in Jesus Christ will get everything that they want. But he does make us a promise he will meet our needs. Amen? Philippians 4:19. What does it say? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The third reason why we should love God is because he forgives. He forgives. Sometimes people get so mad that they don't want to forgive right away. Let me ask you something. Is that how God acts? No, he certainly doesn't. He does forgive. All we have to do is go and ask him, and he forgives us. God loves you and I so much that he's always ready to take you back into the sweet fellowship that he wants with you. Again, I'm reminded of a familiar passage. And every time I think about forgiveness, I think about the story of Adam and Eve. How they had the privilege of every day sitting down and talking to God himself. I can't even imagine that, but I know it's going to happen for you and I someday too. But Adam and Eve decided that they would disobey God, and as soon as they did, they knew they did wrong, and they made themselves coverings for themselves. And then in the cool of the evening, I believe it was around that time, according to the scripture, maybe not, but it was in the day that God came looking for them. Well, he knew where they were, but he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam came forth, and God knew immediately that he had sinned, he had disobeyed him. And the first thing that God did, it doesn't say it, but I believe from what all the scripture teaches us, God himself slew a lamb and clothed Adam and Eve with the material that was gotten from that slain lamb. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus Christ is referred to us as the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. And he told Adam and Eve right then and there. They had sinned and separated from him, but he was going to send a redeemer. And that redeemer was Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, they knew the redeemer was coming. And God had forgiven them their sins. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think of the prodigal son. If you come back home to God and ask him for forgiveness, he'll take you back with open arms and accept you as a member of the family. One of the things that I love about God is that he forgives. And because God forgives, the Bible also says that we should forgive. We should forgive. Sometimes that's hard, but we should forgive. That doesn't mean that the people that we forgive are feel bad about what they did. And maybe they don't think they did anything wrong, but we're supposed to forgive. The rest of it is between them and God. Amen? The fourth reason why we should love God is because he protects us. He protects us. Psalm 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. You know, sometimes we take it for granted, but God protects us all the time. He protects us all the time. We breathe in air that has been polluted by toxins and gases and fumes. We eat food sometimes that's loaded with preservatives and chemicals. Sometimes you're going to eat something out of a can or out of a sealed container. It might be better off not to read what is in it. Half of it I don't understand anyway. I guess that's why it's good for us to eat healthy and not so much processed food. Now, I won't get into that too much, but you understand where I'm going there. We come into regular contact with viruses and bacteria all the time. And sometimes we catch that, and just like what's going around now, there's a couple different things going around, and it affects you in different ways. Sometimes it's a sinus, and along with that goes a headache, or else it's in the chest, and boy, you just can't get rid of it. But yet, God has even built into our bodies those things that help fight against that too. And although it takes a while, sometimes even with the help of doctors or medicines, which God has provided the knowledge for them, we do get better. Amen? We get better. So in that sense, God protects us in so many different ways. And through that all, God has protected and preserved us so that we may enjoy living life in what I think is one of the greatest countries in the world. And when we think about our founding fathers and what they came up with that still is in existence today, that has, and they got a lot of those ideas from, guess where? The Word of God is why we're still in existence today. Now men, in their foolish thinking, are trying to do away with those things that are based on the Bible. But praise God, he still watches over and protects us in spite of some of the fools that are in a position of leadership in this country. Praise God for him. Amen? Amen. If you count up all the, can we say, close calls and the near misses in your lifetime, you would almost have to come to the conclusion, even if you don't believe in God, that somebody's looking out for you. Now, we know who it is. It's God looking out for us. Maybe you're thinking right now, Pastor, what about the person who didn't make it through life unscathed? What about the lady down the street who got cancer and died earlier in the year? What about the boy who lost his life in an automobile accident? Why didn't God protect those people, you might ask? I don't have an easy answer for that. But God is sovereign. God knows what is best, and we won't go into trying to understand all of those things. But the bottom line is that we don't always know why things happen. And we have to accept the fact that even though we don't understand it, God still knows what is best. Amen? He knows what is best. For reasons that are not known to us, God calls people out of the world in the prime of their lives to a place that's even more wonderful than Enola, Pennsylvania, or Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, or Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Marysville, Pennsylvania. He calls them to a place that's more beautiful than here. I was talking to my brother the other day. If you met my brother, he's full of fun, and he's thinking about retiring now, him and his wife, and moving into the complex where mom and dad lived for many, many years. And he says, when are you going to retire? I said, well, someday. And he was talking about when dad had to go through his last operation. You remember that? Dad asked some of you to pray, asked all of us to pray really for him. He was going in to have his stomach removed, and they were going to make him another one out of the parts that's in there. I don't know how they do that, but. And he told my brother, he says, Russ, he says, I'm looking forward to getting out of the hospital and maybe he won't be able to eat as much, but he says, we're going to go to Shady Maple. He says, no matter how much time I have left, we're going to enjoy the food. Well, Dad wasn't really old when he passed away, but it was his time. He had suffered a lot. And they went in to fix him up, and you know the story. Too much cancer had already spread, so they closed him back up. And the Saturday he was supposed to come home is when the Lord called him home to be with him. I like to think that maybe the Lord looked down and says, Bernard, Mr. Rife, you've suffered enough. I'm going to bring you home to a better place. And he did. Is he missed? Yeah. But if you're saved, you know what's going to happen one of these days? You're going to see him again. You're going to see him again. For the most part, we have the privilege of living our lives under the protective hand of Almighty God. Psalms 121, verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The fifth reason we should love God is because he rules. He rules. Psalm 22, verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Psalm 66, verse 7. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. You know, I like when things start to get a little shaky and you think, oh man, Lord, I mean, are you really going to let them get away with that? I get to thinking about how in the Old Testament, and basically that revolves around the nation of Israel. I think about how God, in his great love, sent them prophets to warn them they're going down the wrong path. And they needed to repent. And they mocked the prophets. And even the priests wouldn't obey and led the people astray. And so finally, God, out of a heart of love, said, okay, we're going to let you go into captivity. And I'll tell you right now, when you go into captivity, and this is in the prophets, the minor prophets, one place it says, when you get there, build yourself a home because you're going to be there for a while. You're going to be there for 70 years until it's time for you to come back to where you belong. And I'll let you know when that is. So God, ruling the world, said to a little peon of a leader over here who thought more highly of himself than he should have, says, "Psst, come here. I want you to take these, my people, into captivity. And I'm going to watch over them, and you can only do so much." So they were taken into captivity for 70 years. And then when the 70 years was up, God said, "Okay, shorty, time to let them go." God is in control. Oh, we may not always see it, but he's in control. And he allows men to get away with certain things for a while. For a while. For his own purposes. After all, he is sovereign. I know someone that is more powerful than the President of the United States. I know someone that is more powerful than Nancy Pelosi. I know someone that is more powerful than Governor Wolf. I know someone more powerful than the Pope. And I know someone more powerful than the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I'd like to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord God Almighty, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me one day, every man that ever took a breath on this earth, if they didn't acknowledge him as Savior here on earth, they're going to bow down before him one day and acknowledge him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's coming. Amen? It's coming. And now we come to the most important reason of them all. The sixth reason why we should love God is because God loves you. God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And if you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will get lasting victory, not only in this life, but the life to come, because of him. It's all because of him. That's the bottom line. God loves you. I said it the other day to somebody that asked a question about eternity. And you'll not change my mind on this, but everybody that ever lived on this earth made their own choice where they would spend eternity. By receiving that free gift of salvation that God has provided through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, or they decide to spend eternity in hell because they rejected the free gift. They decide. That's God's love. Didn't build zombies. He built us with a will. We can choose. And that's the most important decision that you can ever make, where you will spend eternity, either heaven or hell. If you haven't made that decision, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. You come talk to me afterwards. I'll be glad to show you, or have someone show you from God's word, how you can know you would have, you will have eternal life. Let's pray.